Our text today is from Psalm 13. It should be up on the... There we go. Psalm 13. It's going to be in two parts. This first part that we have here talks about David and how he reacts to Abad. So as time goes on, what I'd like you to do is just to kind of look up there every now and then and reflect on what I am about to say. In my work, I kind of count churches instead of counting years. And this is my 10th church that I've been at. Most of the United States, at least the western part of the United States. About 8 churches ago, I received a phone call, and this was late at night, about 10 o'clock, and you could hear the woman, the urgency in the woman's voice, please come to such and such a house, please come now. So I came then at that moment, and it turned out to be a member of the church, obviously, but it was one of my cousins, kind of a distant cousin. I went to his house. And as I entered the home, I could hear his wife, inconsolable, crying loudly, wailing, sometimes even screaming. And the woman that called me was sitting next to her, just trying to hold her hand and settle her down a little bit. So I walked into the next room, and that was the dining room. Off on the corner, the chair up against the wall, sat my cousin, and he was holding his child. And this was a child that I had just baptized several months before, and there was great happiness. This was the second son that they had. But this child was lifeless. God had taken that child unto himself in his wisdom at that very, very young age of just a few months. Now, my cousin was one who could be very stoic, and he tried to be as stoic as he could. And yet you could see through the tears in his eyes that he was just asking the question, why? So we had the funeral for that little one, and I could hardly make it through the funeral. The casket was about this size, about the size of a good-sized ice cooler, if you want to call it that. And there was some happiness that came then. And that happiness was that the mother, my, I guess you could say, cousin-in-law, became pregnant. She had a child, the third son, and I baptized that son, and the wives went away, and there was joy in that home. And then it was my turn to leave that church, to follow on to another call. And a couple years later, it was right after Super Bowl, I got another phone call from a member of the church, a good friend of mine, and she said, did you hear what happened to your cousin? I said, no, I hadn't heard anything. Said that they were at a Super Bowl party. He and his wife were at the Super Bowl party, and she was walking upstairs carrying a crock pot, and she got her legs tangled in the cord of the crock pot, and she tripped, falling backwards, and landed right on that spot, which means instant death. So here is my cousin. He was a widower, lost his wife in the space of maybe 3 years, lost a son, and now he was faced with a challenge of raising 2 boys, one an infant, at the age of about 35. I don't have an answer as to why bad things happen to God's people. I just don't have an answer to that. But I can, when bad things happen, help you navigate through those bad times, those bad things. I asked you to read Psalm 13, and as you look at the screen, you can probably surmise that David is past the why, and he's into the, how long is this going to be, Lord? How long am I going to go through this bad? You know, we're good people. Certainly we try to be. We try to be good parents, good children, good teenagers. We try to be good employees, good citizens, and all that kind of stuff. In fact, we really work hard at being good. But, you know, what really matters most to us is that God calls us good. We were born no good, at least in the eyes of God. We were sin-infected. And today we're called good by God because He made us good. I'd like to say that a little bit more precisely. We are right with God. Okay. We are right with God. Romans chapter 3 says this, the righteousness, and that's the same as the rightness, from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that we admit freely. But here's the great part. We are justified, and justified means that we are made right, declared right, by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's Romans 3. So by grace through faith, and you know, you have that faith in your heart. It's not something that we're still chasing after. It's the gift that God gave to you the moment that you were born again of water and of the Spirit. And with that gift of faith, you have this wonderful rightness with your God, for all of your sins are forgiven. And so we have a very special relationship with God then, don't we? We call Him Abba. Now, when I grew up, I didn't call my dad, Dad. I called him Pop, by his choice. And when I really needed him and wanted to be near to him, it was Papa. Well, that's what Abba is. And so we can be called, or call God, Abba, Papa, Father, Dad. And He calls us son, daughter. And along with that, we have this privilege of being called brother or sister of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are good before God, then why does bad still happen to us? Why does that happen? You know, every one of us has a story or two or three or maybe even more of bad that's happened. Every church has a story or two of bad that has happened. And it begs this question, and it's the most reasonable and logical question to ask, is why? Why did this bad happen to me or to our church? And the next question is, what did I do to deserve this? You know, when we're searching through our mind, was it that sin? Was it that sin that I did to deserve something like that? David understood bad in a different way. He didn't necessarily ask why. He just asked, how long? And that's what our text up there reflects. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. You know, we learn two truths from this little portion of David's psalm. First, instead of being surprised that a bad is happening to us, we should say, well, I guess that's part of life. It's the way that it is. After all, look at our environment, the environment that we live in. We live in a world where there's violence and bad that's happening each and every day. We live in a place that is full of spiritual darkness. We live in a place where Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of earth. Our bodies are contaminated by sin. So why wouldn't a bad happen to us? What matters is how we deal with that bad when it comes to us. The second truth that we learn from David is that bad is for a time. Now, when a bad comes, it may feel forever, even though it's been 5 minutes, right? And it may feel as if it's gone on and on because we kind of lose track of everything, and we begin to focus in on whatever that bad is. But it won't last forever. God sees to that. And it may feel that required of us will be our very life, that it will end in death for us. And yet we have the Good Shepherd who says, I will walk you through that valley of the shadow of death that you happen to be going through at that moment. It may lead us to question our faith or even to get our fist out and shake it angrily at God. And yet God always sends his Holy Spirit to renew us and remind us that all things work to good. Now, if you've heard the old saying, whatever doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Is that true? Oh, I hate that. Don't you? I mean, because, you know, you gotta, well, it's nice that you're stronger, but I don't want to, okay. Bad is almost always a blessing to us. Take a look at what bad can result in. We invest more time in prayer. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. We draw closer to God. We sit down, we open the search the scriptures to find answers. We learn patience. We become better children of God. Now, if there's anyone who's ever had to suffer a bad in this world, it would have been our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, can you imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's at that prayer stone that's there, on his hands and knees, praying so hard that blood was coming out of his pores. He knew the nonstop bad that would be happening for the next 18 hours that would finally kill him. Bad such as betrayal, denial, being punched in the face, being spit on, being whipped, having a crown of thorns, and those aren't those little rose thorns, put into his head, mocked, injustice, humiliation, agony of being nailed to the cross, and finally death. How did he handle it? We didn't hear him say, Father, why is this happening to me? We hear him saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when we face the bad, perhaps the best way that we can face it is just like our Savior. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, in the second part of this psalm, and it should be coming up in just a moment. In the second part of this psalm, we hear confidence and have confidence in the God who has said to us, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. David writes, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Again, we see two things that David is talking about here when bad came, and it might be a good practice for us. First, instead of focusing on the bad, we look to God. All you got to do is watch the cable network news outlets. You understand what I'm talking about, right? And what is it? It's a non-stop stream of bad. You get up in the morning, it's bad. You go to bed at night, it's bad. Bad, bad, bad. And you know what that does to us? It kind of infects us. And it changes us to expect or to see or to think only in terms of bad. What a bad day it is today. What's wrong with it? I don't know, it's just bad. We get that way. But what David did when that bad came to him, instead of looking at all that was going on in him and around him, he was looking that way. And what that did when he looked to God, as in the wonderful prayer that our pastor had this morning, right at the very beginning, that Pastor Chris had, that wonderful prayer that takes away the focus from here to there. Okay. And in doing that, that sense of helplessness that's there, the sense of hopelessness that's there, just goes away. Because we're taking all our cares and all our worries and problems and placing it in our Lord for him to take care of us. Isaiah says, chapter 41, so do not fear, for, and God speaking, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, secondly, David is saying here that he intentionally remembers what God has done for him. Just take a moment now to kind of remember what God has done for you. Those are pretty good remembrances, aren't they? You think about the clothes that you wear. You think about the food that you eat. Well, yeah, you worked and you paid money, and God, but God gave you the job and you got the money and things like that. Or you think about his unfailing love. Now, I'm sure that every one of you could say, man, I really blew it that time. And it was a sin where you absolutely compromised yourself as far as your morals or values or character or judgment. And yet his unfailing love says what? There is forgiveness with me. That he brings to us that wonderful gift of forgiveness. So, you know, all over the Bible, God tells us this, that bad is going to be there, but that bad is only for a time. And that bad will visit us, but it's not going to last forever. But he also says to us that one day, and that's the day of our salvation, where we're taken from this veil of tears and brought into the glory of everlasting life, where God will wipe away all of our tears, and he will restore us to be whole unto himself. And there will be no more reason, because there's no more bad, so there will be no more suffering or sorrow. You know, I don't know if I answered that question, why. Actually, there are times when I still ask that question, why. But thankfully, there's a Psalm 13 where I can get past the why and just say, Lord, how long? And then I get into this bargaining mode, you know, Lord, if I do this, can you shorten it? You know how that goes? Yeah, we all kind of get that way. What I do know is that if there's no answer for why, there's this other promise of God. And the other promise of God is simply that one day, the bad will stop forever because we will be forever in the good in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we say, Amen.